Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're going to be diving into the world of melatonin.
Melatonin.
Yeah. That's now we know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Melatonin. That's just for sleep, right?
Right.
Well, get this. Our sources suggest that it does way more than just help you catch some Z's. We're talking potential effects on everything from those pesky headaches to even fighting cancer cells.
Wow.
Now, you're probably here because you're curious about whether melatonin supplements could be beneficial for you. And honestly, after reading through this research, I'm right there with you. So let's break it all down together.
Yeah. What I find so fascinating about melatonin is how often it's misunderstood. People kind of box it in as just a sleep hormone, but it's so much more complex than that.
Yeah.
In reality, it's a hormone that's produced primarily in our brains, with production hitting its peak during the night.
Okay.
So yes, its most well-known job is regulating our sleep-wake cycle, you know, our internal clock, if you will. But here's the kicker. Melatonin also acts as a powerful antioxidant.
Oh, wow.
Meaning it helps protect your cells from damage. And there's a growing body of research suggesting that it plays a role in how our immune system functions too.
Okay, so we've got antioxidants and immune function. That piqued my interest. But let's start with something we can all relate to, sleep. We found a 2013 meta-analysis on melatonin and sleep disorders, specifically those not caused by other health conditions. This meta-analysis reviewed a ton of studies and found that on average, melatonin shaved off almost 7 minutes from the time it took people to actually fall asleep. Plus, it tacked on about 8 minutes of total sleep time. And here's where it gets even more compelling. Higher doses and longer periods of taking melatonin seem to improve both of those results.
Interesting. And, you know, when you consider the bigger picture, those extra minutes of sleep, they really add up. You know, chronic sleep deprivation, even if it's just a few minutes here and there consistently, has been linked to a surprisingly wide range of health issues.
Really?
We're talking mood swings, problems, thinking clearly, heart problems, even a shorter lifespan. So while melatonin might be a potential solution for some who are struggling to get enough shut-eye, it's important to remember that it's not a magic cure. You still need those healthy sleep habits, like sticking to a regular sleep schedule, creating a relaxing bedtime routine, and of course, avoiding caffeine and alcohol before bed.
Makes sense. Now, for a connection I bet you wouldn't expect, melatonin and fertility.
Okay.
A 2014 review paper dug into this surprising link, and it turns out our melatonin levels naturally go up and down throughout the menstrual cycle. They bottom out right before ovulation and then peak in the luteal phase, which is the period after ovulation.
Yeah.
And this is particularly relevant for those who work night shifts or have irregular sleep schedules. Studies have shown a connection between shift work, which disrupts our natural melatonin production, and irregular periods. So if you're trying to conceive and you work nights, maintaining a healthy melatonin rhythm might be something to chat with your doctor about.
That's really interesting.
Speaking of melatonin's protective qualities, let's look at how it acts as an antioxidant. To understand why this is such a big deal, we need to talk about what happens as we age. Our bodies are constantly bombarded by these things called free radicals. Think of them as little troublemakers that can damage our cells, leading to aging and potentially disease.
It's like they're running around causing chaos in there.
Yeah.
And melatonin is like, imagine melatonin as a tiny bodyguard for your cells, neutralizing those harmful free radicals before they can wreak havoc.
Okay.
This is why researchers are so interested in its potential to protect us from conditions like heart disease, those affecting the brain like Alzheimer's, and even cancer.
And to give you an idea of how much research is out there on this topic, we found an umbrella review that analyzed a whopping 195 articles.
Wow.
The findings. Melatonin consistently demonstrated antioxidant activity across the board. Now, while this is incredibly promising, it's important to note that we need more research, especially in humans, to fully grasp the long-term impact of supplementing with melatonin and its potential for actually preventing these diseases.
Of course.
And since we're on the topic, let's talk about melatonin and cancer. A 2017 paper focused specifically on this, and one key finding was that melatonin might actually help slow down cancer cell growth and could even boost the effectiveness of certain chemotherapies.
Oh, wow. Now, before you get too excited, it's crucial to understand that this is still a very active area of research. We are nowhere near recommending melatonin as a cancer treatment. And I can't stress this enough. Please don't self-medicate with melatonin if you are undergoing cancer treatment, as it could interfere with your prescribed therapies. Always consult your oncologist before making any changes to your treatment plan.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've covered how melatonin could play a role in sleep, fertility, and potentially offer some protection against cell damage. But that's not all. There's also research looking into its impact on recovery after a traumatic brain injury, or TBI.
Right.
A 2017 study discovered that individuals with TBI had lower melatonin production compared to those without such injuries. And here's why this study caught our eye. It was a placebo-controlled trial, the gold standard for this type of research. The results showed that supplementing with melatonin genuinely improved sleep quality for those recovering from TBI, suggesting it could potentially aid in the recovery process.
Now, while melatonin is generally considered safe, there's a growing concern about overdoses. A 2022 report highlighted a dramatic increase in children accidentally ingesting melatonin. We're talking over a 500% jump.
Wow, that's crazy.
This really underscores that even though you can buy melatonin over the counter, it's still a medication that needs to be treated with caution, especially around young children. Always store it safely out of reach. And talk to your pediatrician before giving melatonin to your child.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've seen melatonin linked to better sleep, possible benefits for fertility, and maybe even some protection against cell damage. But how does it actually work? What's going on at the cellular level?
Well, melatonin exerts its influence by interacting with these specific receptors that are found throughout our body.
Mm-hmm.
These receptors, called MT1 and MT2, are like docking stations located in various tissues,
mm-hmm.
including the brain immune cells and even reproductive organs.
Wow, it really is involved in a lot.
Right. And when melatonin binds to these receptors, it's like a key fitting into a lock. This sets off a chain reaction within our cells, leading to the wide range of effects that we've been discussing. For instance, in the brain, melatonin's interaction with MT1 receptors in a particular area called the suprachiasmatic nucleus helps regulate our sleep-wake cycle, promoting those feelings of sleepiness as night falls.
Oh, so it's like melatonin is flipping a switch to tell our bodies it's time to wind down.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about its antioxidant powers? How does it go about neutralizing those pesky free radicals?
Well, that's where melatonin's unique chemical structure comes into play. It acts as a direct scavenger of free radicals, meaning it can intercept and neutralize them before they can cause too much trouble.
No, okay.
But it's not just a solo act. Melatonin also stimulates the production of other antioxidant enzymes in our bodies, bolstering our natural defenses against damage.
It's like a double whammy.
Exactly. This amplified effect helps combat what's known as oxidative stress,
yeah,
a major culprit in aging and various diseases.
Wow, so it's both neutralizing those troublemakers and boosting our body's own defense system. Pretty impressive for something you can pick up at the drugstore. But this makes me wonder, are there any downsides to taking melatonin? There are two sides to every coin, right?
That's a great question and an important one to address. Like any serotonin, even those generally considered safe, there can be potential side effects. With melatonin, some of the most commonly reported ones include daytime sleepiness, headaches, dizziness, and nausea.
Okay, yeah. If it's promoting sleep, I can see how taking too much might make you drowsy the next day. Are there any more serious concerns? What about interactions with other medications?
Yes, there are certain medications that can interact with melatonin. For instance, some antidepressants, blood thinners, and medications that suppress the immune system can have their effects altered when taken alongside melatonin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This highlights why it's so important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist before starting any new supplements, especially if you're already taking other medications. They can help determine if there are any potential interactions and adjust dosages if needed.
So it's always better to be safe than sorry and check with your doctor first.
Yeah.
Got it. Now I want to shift gears back to melatonin's potential role in cancer treatment. We touched on it briefly, but I'm really curious to learn more.
It's definitely an area of research that holds a lot of promise. Numerous studies have shown that melatonin exhibits anti-cancer properties in several ways.
Okay.
Firstly, it can directly inhibit the growth and multiplication of cancer cells. This has been observed in various types of cancer, including breast, prostate, and colon cancer.
Wow.
Secondly, melatonin has shown the potential to make certain chemotherapy drugs more effective by making cancer cells more vulnerable to their effects.
So it's like melatonin is giving those chemotherapy drugs an extra boost.
Precisely.
That's incredible. But if melatonin has these anti-cancer properties, why isn't it already a standard part of cancer treatment?
That's a great question. The key here is that more research is needed, particularly large-scale clinical trials to confirm its effectiveness and safety in humans. Right now, much of the evidence comes from laboratory and animal studies.
Okay.
Plus, we still don't fully understand the optimal dosages and formulations of melatonin for treating cancer. It's a complex puzzle. And more research is essential before melatonin can be considered a standard part of cancer therapy.
So while it's promising, it's not a cure-all, and more research is needed. Okay, so we've explored melatonin's role in sleep, its antioxidant properties, its potential in cancer treatment, and even its link to fertility. But there's one more area I want to touch on, traumatic brain injury, or TBI.
Yes, as you mentioned earlier, TBI is another area where melatonin research is showing encouraging results. Studies have found that people with TBI tend to have lower melatonin production compared to those without such injuries.
Right.
And supplementing with melatonin has been shown to improve sleep quality in patients recovering from TBI, which is crucial because sleep disturbances are common after such injuries and can significantly hinder recovery.
And that study we discussed, the one with the placebo control, really adds weight to these findings, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It suggests that the improvements in sleep were directly due to melatonin and not just a placebo effect.
Exactly. And beyond just sleep, there's also evidence hinting that melatonin might offer neuroprotective effects, potentially shielding the brain from further damage after a TBI.
That's remarkable. So it's helping with sleep and potentially protecting the brain. Melatonin truly seems to be a multitasking marvel.
It certainly appears that way. But again, more research is always needed to fully grasp its potential and explore its applications in treating a wide range of conditions.
Well, I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today, from melatonin's role in sleep regulation and its antioxidant power, to its potential for treating headaches, cancer, and even TBI. But before we wrap things up, I want to touch on one more crucial aspect of melatonin supplementation dosage. You've mentioned that optimal dosages vary depending on the issue being addressed, and I think it's important to emphasize that point again.
Absolutely. Getting the dosage right is crucial, and it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all situation. Factors like age, the specific condition you're addressing, individual sensitivities, and potential drug interactions all come into play.
Right.
For example, for sleep disorders, a typical starting dose for adults might be somewhere between 0.5 and 5 milligrams, taking about 30 minutes to an hour before bedtime. However, for other conditions like REM, sleep behavior disorder, we've seen that higher doses, starting around 3 milligram and potentially going up to 15 milligram might be necessary under a healthcare professional's guidance.
So more isn't necessarily better when it comes to melatonin. In fact, taking too much could backfire and lead to those unwanted side effects we talked about earlier.
Exactly. It's important to remember that even though melatonin is available over the counter, it's still a medication. Treat it with respect.
Yeah.
And talk to a healthcare professional to figure out the right dosage for your individual needs.
Solid advice. And speaking of being cautious, you mentioned a concerning trend of melatonin overdoses, particularly in children.
Unfortunately, yes. That 2022 report showed a significant increase in children accidentally ingesting melatonin over the past decade. While melatonin is generally considered safe, overdoses can happen, and they can be especially risky for young children.
Wow. So what are some things parents and caregivers can do to prevent these accidental ingestions?
The most important thing is to store melatonin out of reach of children, just like you would with any other medication.
And always talk to your pediatrician before giving melatonin to your child. They can help you determine if melatonin is even appropriate for your child. And if so, what dosage would be both safe and effective?
Those are great tips for parents. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about quality control. Since melatonin is regulated as a dietary supplement in the United States, it doesn't go through the same rigorous testing and meet the same quality standards as prescription medications.
That's a valid concern. The purity and potency of melatonin supplements can differ significantly from brand to brand.
So how can our listeners be sure they're getting a high-quality melatonin supplement?
Look for supplements that have been independently tested and given the stamp of approval by third-party organizations like the U.S. Pharmacopeia or NSF International. These organizations have stringent quality standards and make sure the supplement actually contains the stated amount of melatonin and is free from contaminants.
So look for those verification marks on the label. Good to know. Now, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to revisit melatonin's potential for treating headaches.
As we mentioned earlier, a 2016 review suggested that melatonin might be beneficial for certain types of headaches, especially migraines and cluster headaches.
And how does that work?
Well, while we're still unraveling the exact reasons behind melatonin's potential in relieving headache pain, research suggests it might be linked to its influence on regulating blood vessels in the brain and its ability to modulate our pain pathways.
So melatonin isn't just about sleep. It seems to have this intricate relationship with various systems in our bodies, impacting everything from blood vessels and how we perceive pain to immune function and even the growth of cancer cells.
Indeed. And that's what makes melatonin research so captivating. There's still so much to discover about this versatile hormone and its potential applications in treating such a wide range of conditions.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, exploring the science behind melatonin, its many potential benefits, the importance of dosage and quality control, and even some safety considerations. Now, as we head into the final part of our melatonin exploration, I want to leave you with a question to ponder. Based on everything we've discussed today, what aspects of melatonin research resonate most with you, and how might this new knowledge influence your own approach to health and well-being? We'll be back after a short break to wrap up this fascinating deep dive. Welcome back, everyone. We're wrapping up our deep dive into the world of melatonin. And I gotta say, after all this research, I'm even more fascinated by this little hormone than I was before.
Yeah, it's true. And melatonin research is constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. There always seems to be some new discovery around the corner, which definitely keeps things interesting.
I love that. It feels like every time we think we've got a handle on it, there's a whole new layer to uncover. Speaking of uncovering new layers, I want to circle back to the idea of personalized medicine, something we've touched on throughout this episode.
Right, right. That's such a crucial point. Just like dosages should be tailored to the individual and the specific reason they're considering melatonin, the effects of this hormone can vary quite a bit from person to person. What works wonders for one person might do absolutely nothing for another.
So it's all about listening to your own body and figuring out what works best for you, ideally in consultation with a healthcare professional, right?
Absolutely. It's about working with your body, not against it.
Makes perfect sense. Now, as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on where melatonin research might be headed in the future. What are some of the key areas you think researchers will be focusing on in the coming years?
Well, one area I'm particularly excited about is melatonin's potential role in tackling those tough neurodegenerative disorders like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow. Those are big ones. What makes you optimistic about melatonin's potential there?
Well, as we've discussed, melatonin seems to have these neuroprotective effects, and there's growing interest in seeing if it could help slow the progression of these debilitating diseases, which would be life-changing for so many people.
Absolutely. It would be a game changer for millions of people around the world. It's amazing to think that something our bodies produce naturally could have such a profound impact on brain health.
Right. It speaks to the incredible complexity of our biology. Another area that holds a lot of promise is exploring how we might use melatonin in more personalized cancer treatments.
I'm really interested in learning more about that. What does that research look like right now?
Well, researchers are investigating whether we can use melatonin to enhance the effectiveness of chemotherapy, while also reducing its often harsh side effects. The hope is to create more targeted and individualized cancer therapies.
Now, that would be a remarkable breakthrough. It's exciting to think about all the possibilities that lie ahead as we learn more about melatonin. But even with all this cutting-edge research, it's important to remember that melatonin isn't a miracle cure.
You're exactly right. It's not going to solve all our health problems overnight. It's a tool that, when used correctly and under the guidance of a healthcare professional, might help us sleep better, protect ourselves, and potentially play a role in preventing or treating certain diseases.
Well said, and I think that's a perfect note to end on. We've explored the vast world of melatonin, from its role in regulating our sleep and its antioxidant superpowers to its potential in treating everything from headaches to cancer and even traumatic brain injuries. We've covered the science, discussed dosages and side effects, explored the importance of quality control, and even peeked into the future of melatonin research.
Yeah, it's been a thorough exploration. And hopefully this deep dive has armed our listeners with a wealth of knowledge and piqued their curiosity to learn even more about this fascinating hormone.
I hope so too. And remember, this deep dive was just the tip of the iceberg. Melatonin research is a vast and constantly evolving field. So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and most importantly, keep listening to your own body and work with your healthcare provider to make informed decisions about your health.
That's the key, informed decision making.
Well said. And with that, it's time for us to say goodbye for now. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of melatonin. We'll be back next time with another fascinating exploration. Until then, take care.